All right. So, purpose of this, and like I said, Proverbs does a great job of really putting this into perspective of understanding. And we've seen in the beginning why we are not to judge. One, because our judgment comes from us. And I know we like to think we really got everything under control, and we don't. So praise God that He first gives us that and gives us the warning that if we do do it, we're setting ourselves up. And then we are never to call anybody a fool or worthless or anything of that sort. But with that, we have to know what a fool is. So this is a warning not only about us, because if I live as a fool, if that's what I'm labeled as based on my actions, that can put me in the wrong direction eternally. Do you understand that? It's wise or fool. We've allowed the world to give their definition of what it means to be a fool or wise, and it's more and more foolish the more we keep following the world. So as we've seen in this, and also it's our protection to keep us from working or getting in relationships with fools. So he said, stay away from fools. It lets us know not to speak or have that company of a fool. Let you know the danger that fools walk in darkness. When he used the example of better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. And we're doing this in many cases. We work with some, we partner with some, we obey some, we follow. I mean, it's just that. And they fit perfectly what the Bible says a fool is. It says a fool says in his heart, and right there shows us his purpose, there is no God. And the way you know it, they'll do ungodly things. Now, they'll call themselves a Christian, but they'll continue to do ungodly things. When it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, it showed us, don't bring yourself down to his level, but make sure you give the answers that his folly deserves. You don't ever want to justify foolish talk. You understand? You don't want to in any way give him hope in that. So we want to know what defines a fool or foolishness. So it shows us that focusing on their perception, become angry when you don't. Pay close attention to people that come up with their own. That's a fool. And I mean, sometimes it'll be brilliant answers, but if it's not fully based on God, and this happens in the church more than you think, they follow self-wisdom. You'll hear them go, well, I seen and I felt and I experienced. Fools live in fairy tales as if they are reality. Okay, you'll hear them make up stories and really believe them and really kind of lean upon them. Fools work harder, not smarter, so pay close attention to how they work and the things that they do. They provoke instead of speaking knowledge. They like to agitate. They like to talk down. They like to joke at other people's expenses. They'll yell over talk you instead of quality conversation. Like if you ever have a problem and you know the fools will go, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And they get mad and they try to just yell it out or make you get so frustrated with them. It's all foolish. Fools are easily swayed because they believe anything. And advertisements work because of fools, and we get misled by worldly ideologies because the foolishness of it. Fools do not assess situations and pay for it. They mistake foolishness for fearlessness. You even watch it in the movies. The only reason why the movies work because they're movies. But they'll make these men that we are to see as foolish diving into crowds and running into bullets and doing all these crazy things. We're like, man, that's incredible. No, that was foolish. But we don't question it. Fools look at the outcome they see and not what God says. Over and over again, you watch people, I did it and it worked. I saw them do it and it worked. Instead of going, but God says, so that settles it. And the Bible even used the word stupidity. His stupidity will be evident. Here's the problem, and I said this before, the reason why we don't see that stupidity as we've allowed a lot of these things to become normal. We've lowered the bar that a lot of cases, some of the things that even in the church we are doing, which the Bible is showing us clearly, well, that's foolish. We have accepted and gave passes to and used that I'm only human nonsense instead of fully being in his word. So it shows, the trusting of self. You're a fool for anybody who trusts himself, and many of us do it because we're taught in our society to do that. In fact, you see some very confident people very, very confident people. And you know, we don't realize that confidence could be our downfall. And we're not supposed to put our trust in men, which people do. Like I said, you see it over all the elections. We put our hope into them, and then we just hope, man, I can't wait till this next. Foolish. It's so foolish. But we believe it because of the foolishness in us. Fools live in complacency. They kind of not do anything. They know the things you ought to do. We just went over the sermon, and it shows we have a responsibility to a group of people. In many cases, we're like, oh, well, right? We really don't put that effort. And we're like, oh, no big deal. And we just kind of move on that way. And then we see that for the fool, things concerning God will not be based on God. And that's where we last left off. Now, fools strive for fleshly comfort instead of uncomfortable wisdom. I think in our lifetime, what we didn't realize is, like we do with exercise and like we do with anything else in life, how can I get the best of both worlds? You ever see those gadgets from, I mean, back in the 80s, they would sell this and then they would show this bodybuilder and you're going to turn into this, or they'll show somebody, you know, who wants to lose weight. And if you just do this 2 times a day, then they'll look at, they'll show somebody who's very thin. We tried to do the same thing with the Bible. So, you know, you get those people that go, no, God wants me to be comfortable, but he also wants me to be godly. So we start distorting the word, and we'll start striving to please the flesh and to please God. And we still do that today, because how it should work is there's a lot of stuff that God puts us into that we're going to have to make a decision. And one of the answers is not going to be comfortable, but correct. And then on the other end, the answer is going to be very comfortable, but wrong. And if you just step back and watch, many people do the latter. They'll do things that are comfortable and wrong, but somehow fool themselves foolishly that it worked out. Look how great this is. We'll just play stupid on it, as this word shows. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 4 says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. And I'll explain that. But the heart of fools is in the house of leisure. I think I've said to you before, this time, this temporary that we're in, isn't for our comfort, isn't for our happiness and outcome. If we get comfort and we get happiness, we go, okay, amen. But I still have a job to do. Okay? There's a ministry, there's something I must do to bring others out of it in order to be part of him. We're looking towards eternity. So when he says the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, because the state of this world is terrible. The state of this world is downright a disaster. Okay? And he's let us understand that. So when we go to church, I want to hear the truth, right? I want to see what God is really saying. So you'll watch certain people and they would love to get, oh, God is really, and he's really doing this and he's really scattered. If you really look at it, we have distorted the gospel. The things that we're calling godly are not. And if we go to the house of mourning, it doesn't feel good. And we don't want it to feel good because it keeps you understanding, I got a job to do. Do you understand that when you get the truth? However, it says, but the heart of fools is in a house of leisure. They'll come in and they'll hear a sermon that's telling them things that God is saying to do, and they're going, man, you're bringing me down. Right? I'm going to find somebody that'll tell me all this happiness. Joel Osteen, why do you think his crowd is as big as it is? Even up to now, where people are saying, you do know he's not preaching anything, but you still get people that love, because in the business sense, he's selling well. Hey, sis.
Hey, so the house of mourning, is that when they preaching the truth and you don't want to hear? What's the house of mourning?
That is the house of mourning. So when you're going in and you're literally watching this dead world, you're watching people in their sin, you're watching bad decisions, you're watching lack of fear of God, you're mourning that. You know what I mean? It's kind of, man. It's the same thing when somebody dies, it hurts and you have to, you know, go through that mourning aspect of it. But it gives you clarity of this is what happens now, you know, I'm gonna have to move on without them. That's hard. In the same way, we're going to look at the world and we're not trying to make it so we're comfortable and we're enjoying ourselves. It's this world is dead. So I got to keep that focus on. I have a job to get as many out of it so they don't get stuck in this deadness, if that makes sense.
Okay, thank you.
And this is the answer for anybody I might have asked in reverse. The house of leisure is we when we try to make this the most comfortable ever. You know what I mean? And like I said, I used to use the analogy of a burning building, and where they came and told you there's no way you can save this building. Okay, so now your job is to get in the building to get the people out of the building. Okay, that's our job. And then you, as this fireman going into the building, you go into their house, and they're like, "Can you paint my wall?" So you start painting their wall. Why are you painting the wall when it's going to go away? And so we invest more time in the temporary, very little time in the eternal. But once again, it's more comfortable to make me feel comfortable in my death instead of knowing I have access to eternal life. We also see that fool's advice may sound good, but it's toxic. All right. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to songs of fools." There are a lot of feel-good songs, feel-good friends that want to make you feel better. When I got into counseling, the hard part was there were worldly counselors, there were even Christian counselors that would tore me apart in a sense of what I thought I was supposed to do. I always thought I did a good job when they come out and say, "Good, I feel better." Not realizing I was damaging them because I was catering to their feelings. And our feelings is what destroys us. Do you understand that? But my job was to cater to their soul and their spirit that they may listen to God. And we don't always like that because it doesn't feel good. You know, how hard is it when you tell somebody maybe you two shouldn't be together? They didn't like hearing that. They want to hear somebody say it's going to be wonderful and you're going to do this and that, right? They don't want to hear when you're using godly wisdom to make wise decisions. But like I said, a wise man's rebuke is going to come off sometimes harsh, can be very firm, very serious. We don't like that. And you hear what I said? We don't like that. I didn't ask you, was it good for you? No, we just don't like it. But we'll listen to these things that make us feel better. And that's what people strive for, even today. That's why counseling for people who truly want it, they want to, I give me the truth so I can feel it. Not, I mean, so I, not for my feelings, so that I can understand it, so I can apply it and give me that reverence in God. But we keep catering to the feeling part of it. Spreading of slander. We do this so much. Like I said, there's so much foolishness. But when it says in Proverbs 10, verse 18, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips." Now, what does that mean? Remember, I'm not talking about what you feel. It's not what we des what we are defined by. So you may feel hatred towards somebody. That's not what this is talking about. But if I do hate a person, my actions are going to show it. Do you understand that? But I'm going to smile in your face. You understand that? Not a gospel song, but same thing. But do you understand in the sense of it's telling you I'm going to still try to harm you. I'm still going to trip you up. There was a guy I worked with, and he was upset when I got the position. And man, he tripped me up all the time. But I mean, the first time is where I had to find it, but every other time I prepared myself because I knew he was going to do it. However, he'll talk like he's my best friend. Right? When it's not something that he wants, he'll do anything. And it's something that if I, you know, was blind to it, I'd be tripping all over the place going, but he's my friend. Do you understand that? That's what that means, because you're concealing what you really are to that person, right? You on the surface, you look high. And that's why he says, has lying lips. You know, have you ever had somebody and they really hate you and you're trying to talk to them and they go, and when they do something to you, you're like, "Why would you do that?" And they go, "What?" You ever get those? "What are you talking about?" They know exactly what they're doing. They like to play that. And that's a person is a liar. And he shows, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. And like I said, I got to keep defining this because some people just think it means lying. Slander can be a truth also. So it is lying on somebody, and it's also saying something about somebody with the wrong purpose. If my purpose is evil, I slander, right? Certain gossips, why? Why did you have to tell everybody that, right? Now, there are situations, as I'm about to say, which is necessary. And we'll see that. And as a Christian, we got to know our responsibility. So what was my reason for saying that? And that's not just about a person. It can be about a group of people. You know, understand? So people who buy these lies about certain people and we slander, you're going to have to answer to God, right? Did you see this group of people do this? Well, no, but I heard and they said, then why are we now attaching it to them? Right? Now, if it's an actual concern, you can put out there, hey, I'm concerned, because I heard this, can we check into it? That's different. But when I go, this group of people is, and we've destroyed lives, God's not going to forget that. He says, vengeance is mine. You understand that? Slander is something we shouldn't take lightly, but we do it all the time, right? We hear somebody say it, and then we're running to do it. Now, the times I am supposed to say something about somebody is where I have, please don't mistake slander for needed warnings. In 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight. Okay? And he says, verse 19, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Now, watch what he says here. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So now he's not giving punishment. He's trying to change them, but these guys are dangerous. So he had to put that out there. And so he talks about a group. So when he says shipwreck their faith is no longer part of it. So this is why, in some cases, in order not to hurt people's feelings or go against something that they do, or when we deal with uncomfortable conversations, this is where you have to do it. And as a pastor, there are many times I'd back off because I didn't want people to be insulted based on what they follow. And so I said, well, wait a minute. No. I don't care what it is, especially if it gets in the middle of our walk. So I got to say, you do know that's not God. You do know that's not faith. You do know that's not, I have to say that. And yeah, in many cases, it's going to hurt feelings. But that's why I must do it with scripture. I have to do it with scripture so it doesn't sound like my opinion. I need to show they did this. The word says this. How do we handle this? Because we got Christians that are blatantly doing things that you look at the Bible and you go, so why? And they'll just get defensive and they'll just get, what are you talking about? But they won't go, because it is written. Kind of sitting there, but you're a Christian. What are you doing? So in those cases, you got to say, you have to put that out there. You understand? Because right now, Christians have a bad name, and not because, oh, we are so persecuted. We have a bad name because we've allowed people to call themselves Christians. We supported them, and they're really messing up our name. And then when they ask, if somebody says, why don't you like those Christians? And they give their answers, the problem is they're right. That's not persecution. They're not presenting Christ. So we do have to warn about that. If I don't, there's a lot of people that are into ideologies thinking they're Christians, and I can assure you they're going to be part of the group that says where they're told I never knew you. That's the purpose. But even this, even the people that are doing wrong, the handing them over to Satan means I need them, these people who call themselves Christians, to get a taste or receive what their consequences, the consequences of their actions. And hopefully, that's when you say hand them over to Satan. I'm not going to, try to keep preaching at them. You're going to step away from them and let them go through it. And hopefully they learn, even though it's going to be the very hard way that they shouldn't have to go through, but they chose that path in there. Keep thinking about that. Like I say, especially on the slander part, because that's another common thing, which we jump on the bandwagon and we really say some bad stuff about people, and you have absolutely no proof. And it's done throughout the years, but we got to watch that. Also, we'll find pleasure in evil instead of wisdom. Proverbs 10:23, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct. Okay? They didn't say was that good or not. They'll say it was fun, right? It was fun. Once again, there might be some bravery in it, but I don't know. We have a lot of people that can climb, those mountains straight up and down. It's a gift, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Where they could do it with no rope. And I don't remember, there was one guy, it was a couple of years ago, where he died. He fell off. I mean, seems like it was going to happen. In the sense of what they're able to do is fascinating, but was it necessary? Do you know what I mean? There are a lot of people who do things because they like the adrenaline and the danger, and that's fine if you want to do that, but are you messing with the life God gave you for that adrenaline? Are you putting some other people in danger that may have to now come up and save you? Do we take that stuff into consideration? But I enjoyed it. I had a great time, right? That it was all me. We have to take all of that into consideration. and not, man, it's wonderful that you can do this or that or whatever, you know? And even if it's some basic things, the fool will say he enjoyed himself, but what if something happens to you and now your family doesn't have you because of your pleasure? So you're bringing it down in the sense of you got to think of a fool in the sense of, okay, I'm going to do this, but what could happen if this thing, which is unnecessary, fails? That's why it says, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. Wisdom, you're going to assess a situation, right? What does it say about a fool? They see danger and they keep going, right? But a prudent man will assess it and they'll you know take care of it. They'll adjust. They'll know what they need to do, right? I had a lot of friends that were like that always did that. Come on, let's just do it, you know. And a lot of times we got out of some stuff where I look back and we should be dead, and I was fooled to follow them. Do you understand that? But I would have felt bad if I didn't. You know, they would call me all kinds of names and stuff like that. So I didn't want to go through that. Fool, as a fool. Do you understand this? So understand, which one are you? Are you enjoying life? And sometimes we just got to do stuff that's there. Why? What is the reason? No, but we got to think about these things. Fools do not learn from discipline. Now, this is why you could be a great parent and still raise a fool. Okay. However, if you don't discipline, you're a part of the equation, right? You're a part of the outcome because you're catering to that. You're raising them to be a fool. But when you discipline a fool, somebody who insists on going after their own desires and how they see it, there's nothing you can do. They're destined until something happens. It shows in Proverbs 15:5, a fool rejects his father's discipline. Rejects it. He's getting it because his father's providing it, but he rejects it, right? I don't want to hear that. I'm not doing that. And they keep doing it. And they do it over and over again. It says, but he who regards reproof is sensible, right? In my children, there was one that I do over and over again, punishment. I kept giving it. And then they would do it again, punishment. There was another one. I never had to punish them for the same thing twice. And I remember that. I would tell them, they would look at me, kind of shake their head. You understand that? And they got it. So it'd be the next thing they would get punished on, but they would keep growing in that. On the other one, it was, I want to do what I want to do. All right. And I think a lot of us have that. Some of us have children that are still doing that. Some of us are that. We still have that, but I want to do what I want to do mentality. And then we attach to, and I still want to be called a Christian. If we truly had the reverence we were going to have, we would ask, am I truly a Christian? Right? We just did the measure on 1 John. Are we measuring ourselves to those things? Because like I said, are we rejecting the discipline that God has given us? Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment. Right? A man of discernment will go, man, I am so blessed that you corrected me. Maybe not at that moment, but I think back. And, you know, to have a grandmother after my dad wasn't there and my mom passed away, to have a grandmother to invest that time to punish me is a beautiful thing. You understand that, right? But a lot of us just go, no, I couldn't stand them. They always punished me, always put me on punishment. You know what I mean? They never understood. So you did nothing. They just came in the house and said, oh, I feel like putting you on punishment. And that's what we want to feel, like the victim, right? So rebuke. A man of understanding takes, and they praise God for it. I remember the story that I heard of the girl that went to school, and she was so mad because she said her father said she can't go to this thing that everybody else was going to because she messed up. And she said, I can't stand him. She said she hates him and all that. And another young girl who was an, who did not have a family, she was an orphan, and her response was, I wish I had a father that loved me enough to put me on punishment. You know, that whole perspective of she realized, I wish I had one that loved me enough. You understand? Because, you know, you got parents today and they'll go, I don't care. Go do what you want, you know? And you're learning on your own. And that makes a fool, as we're going to see later. And this is rebuke impresses a man with discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. And what it's saying is there's still hope, but for a fool, they got to touch the stove a million times before they finally get it. And some, You might not live long enough to get that many to finally go, oh, and these are ones. So it's not, don't beat yourself up unless you are not being the parent you're supposed to be. Okay. But if you did everything, this is what this means. They will not learn from discipline if that's what they choose, if that's the path they choose. Not controlling their tongue. When people just speak without thinking, when people do not assess or know their audience, when people speak out of emotion, that's a fool. Okay, Proverbs 17, 27 through 28 says, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint. There are certain people I can say certain things to in a certain way, and I couldn't do that to another person. But when you get those people go, what? I speak the truth. I'm just saying what I feel. When we come off from our interpretation, and there's many of us that measure things based on us. If it doesn't bother me, then it's not bothersome. Right? I've heard people call other people crazy because they think that person, they want that person to think like them. And that's one of the most foolish things you could do. Because now when you struggle with something, should everybody treat you that way? What if God treated you that way? You know what I mean? When you go through something, you're going through something. So when I'm speaking, I have to pay attention. I have to know when to shut up. I have to know when to speak. And all of us have that access. Okay. But a man of understanding is even tempered. Right. I told you, you grow up around, you still get people. We accept it because we think it's us. When somebody doesn't get something, there's different going, excuse me, can you say that again? Versus what? What are you talking about? Difference. Big difference. And I told you, I grew up with my dyslexia. I remember I would say some things when I didn't understand things. And the minute they said that, I was like, I'm done. Thank you. Right. I'm not going to ask any questions. It would harm me, and they would participate in harming me, right? So I always tell people, there's no dumb questions. Keep asking the question, and if you get somebody that way, find somebody else to ask it to. But we never have a right to do that, especially when we think we are clear on everything. But unless you're perfect, you're going to have to answer to God for it. So it's not even the what, it's the how. How did you present it? Even tempered, they won't think that you're annoyed. They won't think that you're frustrated that they don't know. Even temper is going to really show a no, ask again, right? They're going to be comforting in a godly way to what you're going through. And that's why it says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. There's sometimes you just don't need to give your input. There's sometimes. Know those times and discerning if he holds his tongue, right? You think they're brilliant, and then they talk, and you're like, oh, never mind. And that's exactly what it means. You know, that silence. I think sometimes we always got to defend ourselves. You ever get those? No matter what you say, to defend yourself, that's foolish. Assess. When this is quick to listen, do that. Do that. I was that way when in the beginning of our marriage. You know, even growing up, I thought I had, you know, things figured out, and I still don't have everything figured out. Praise be to God, I can trust in him and not on me. But she would say something, but I would always say, but I am doing that. And she would say it again. She'd go forget it. And then she'd be mad at me. And I'm sitting there going, why is she mad at me? I'm already doing that. Until that quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, once again hit. So then I'd sit with her and she'd talk. And then I'd ask questions. So do you mean this? She'd go, no. And then she would explain. And I'm going, all this time, I thought you meant this, but you meant this. And then I'm asking more questions. And we go back and forth. And now we take the time to listen. You understand that. But before, I just go into defense mode, right? How dare you say I did this? And that's what we can't do because that's very foolish and it'll destroy relationship. I was notorious for that. But praise God, that has adjusted. That has changed. And all the glory to God for that. And that's why I say it's discerning if he holds his tongue, keeps wise and keeps silent. There are times you just sit there and you listen and then you take it in and then you come back. Christians know there is one truth, while a fool will use many resources to support their claims. Now, I know today, especially even in the church, a lot of resources exist. I'm going to be very clear. All you really need is the Bible. Okay? All you need is the Bible. It's even nice if you get, you know, it's called Lexicon, and it'll give you the Hebrew translation for the Old Testament, and it'll give you the Greek translation for the New Testament. That's nice to have. If you just had that, that's all you need. That's it. Now, any other book you get should just be interesting. But the minute you start relying on that other book, it's going to distort the word. Please understand that. See, everybody has access to the word, but when you have these hidden things and these things that you can't find and so on and so forth, it's not from God. Be careful of those. Okay. And I always tell people, please read it for interest, but don't go into them. And next thing you know, you're coming back. Oh, I read you can do this. I told you the minister that passed away, Carlton Pearson, read one of the Apocrypha, and it was called the it was Peter's book, Peter's version of Revelations. And it's not a true, it's not written by Peter. It's not, they were able to prove that a long time ago. That's one that was very easily proved, but people like it because how his book displayed is everybody's going to eventually go to heaven. That's how it ended. It basically said those who are going to go to hell are going to go to hell, and then God's going to go psych, and everybody's going to go to heaven. And that's how it ended. So a lot of these people start making what was called Unitarian churches. All right. And that's, you know, they're very liberal to the sense of, I don't care what sin you're doing, we are going to accept you. And they called that love. Do you understand that? And they have these churches and they would just enjoy themselves. And people come in with all their sin and they would just live in their sin and they would rejoice in their sin because they thought, I'm going to die and I may go to hell for a little bit, but then I'm going to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. So be careful when you get all these materials, okay? That's why I said there is one truth. Jesus is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You start reading these other books, and I don't care if a person has a doctorate or whatever, if they're not solidly giving you the word, and it's going to fall on you. Proverbs 17:24 says, a discerning man keeps wisdom in view. Now, that's the other thing. What the Bible tells us is the only true wisdom is godly wisdom, and the only way you get that wisdom is from God. Okay? Anybody else that's born with insight and things that you've learned and things you've gone through, that's human insight. That's it. Okay? And it can come off as wisdom by worldly standards. And what does the Bible say? If you're wise by standards of the world, become a fool in order that you may truly become wise. One of the things that's distorted the church is we allowed a bunch of what the world calls brilliant men to run the church. And they start telling you what you got to do is this. And we start doing it. Instead of going, where in the Bible does it say to do that? And we don't do that. And then we foolishly follow fools. And God's not going to go, well, you meant well. That's a foolish thought because you can't find that in the Bible. So when it says a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, they will be able to read the other books and you'll never see it influence their walk. However, and this happens more than not, the one who is not using wisdom, that's why it says, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. They're going to read stuff in these other material or watch these other things or listen to other ministers in a sense that are not preaching from the word. And they're going to go, oh, I never thought of that. And next thing you know, you see their word doing this. You see where I'm going? And it's doing some weird stuff. And that's what Titus means when he says, you know, those who are not pure, then everything is bad to them. You know what I mean? And those, and he's saying they're worthless. And we get a lot of those that sound brilliant, but are very dangerous teachers. And that's what you have to watch out for because there's a fool eyes wander. And that's what Satan wants. He wants, if you remember going back to what he did to Eve, it made her see. Then she took over from there. She kept saying, because God said, you know, I mean, what she said one time, but God said not to eat off of it, right? And then she comes down to, but the tree, I mean, the fruit is good for eating and gaining. And that's what we do. We read his word, then we go, but this other guy said, this other religion did, this other, and next thing you know, we're confused. Why are you confused? What did the Bible say? You understand, but well, we allow ourselves because we're still living with a foolish mentality. Foolish mentality. And that's what we have to watch out. So a fool's eyes wander. And that's how Satan gets us. He applies things that look godly, but we don't walk by sight. And that's how he gets us. Fool's claims will be unsubstantiated. So in Proverbs 13, verse 16, it says, every prudent act acts out of knowledge. And only true knowledge is God. All right? The way, the truth, the life. So every prudent, when a person is truly acting out of wisdom, you'll be able to solidly see what they did using God's wisdom. Okay? But a fool exposes his folly. That's you want to know the difference. Is their decision making, how they treat people, their whole demeanor, they're dealing with their family, their finances, is it based on God's word? Can they always give and it is written to, really lay the foundation to what they do? Can that be done? Because a fool, the minute you see it, you're like, oh, he read that other book. Oh, he got that from some other man. You know what I mean? And you'll watch them do things that the world is calling wise, that human beings are accepting as normal. And we should see it as Christians going, that doesn't fit what God says. And you should immediately know. But we don't immediately know because we allow people to mix and we accept that they're mixing and that shouldn't be. All right. Fools are led by what they think is more than truth. Okay. And what I mean by that, just like with Eve, like I said, how she first gave the answer, she gave the biblical answer. You know what I mean? However, she then turned back with the mindset of, but I see. Now, that's been in our lifetime, that's been what's happening. Because there's a lot of stuff that we do in Christianity in different forms. First of all, the reason why we have so many denominations is because of that. Main reason why the church is so divided is because of that. And they're not disputable matters. Remember, a disputable matter, which you can read about and find out in Romans 14, are things that have nothing to do with our salvation, right? You may be able to prove some of them in the Bible, but has nothing to do with your salvation. You know what I mean? You can eat. If you don't want to eat meat, you don't have to. You understand that? It's not going to send you to heaven or hell for eating. However, these are things that actually hit our salvation. When we took grace and we distorted it, and I was watching a lady online and she was giving her description of grace and she ignored all of it, ignored all of the verses that talk about works because she just wants us not to do anything because she thinks it disrupts grace. And watch what I said. She thinks, right? There's no study because the people who think these certain ways, they'll use the Bible, but it only works when they ignore. That's why it says sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. We don't always use that. So we see in Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding. There are certain things, and it's going to keep going on for the rest of my life. When I don't get, I'm going to keep searching for it. There's two sermons I have in mind right now, haven't done. I started it like 10 years ago, and I know I was just looking at it the other week, and I'm still not getting it to teach it. Do you got where I'm going with this? And I don't want to do that. If I thought it was very necessary, I would just let y'all know. I don't understand this and this and that. We're getting, but it's getting closer. You know what I mean? But I'm not just saying, well, I'm not going to learn that and push it aside. I'm going to keep growing, keep talking about it. It says, but delights in airing his own opinions. In other words, I want to seem brilliant is what tends to happen. So they'll stop that or they'll give their own opinion on it. Just so you think, man, that guy's outstanding. I don't care if I get things wrong because I can be wrong, but I care to get things wrong if I'm distorting his word. That's why I want his understanding. I love gaining God's understanding, not my own understanding. Ecclesiastes 10, 12 through 14 says, words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. They're the most pleasing things you'll get from true wisdom. But a fool is consumed by his own lips. You're like, will you please shut up? But you don't say that. That's not right. But in other words, if you are a Christian, you'll know I'm getting foolishness. It's not, we're not getting anything from this. This is a waste of time. You should know that as Christian. Have you ever gone and heard a sermon that has no godly substance? The problem is, if I'm fleshly, there are some very entertaining sermons. You enjoy it, it's funny, but out of it, you probably got 5 minutes of godliness, and you'll go, man, that person preached. You go to another one, could be boring, it could be long, have a whole lot, but man, you get an abundance of the word. Majority of us would pick the first and still say, and they preached, and then we don't grow. And we're like, why am I not growing? Right? Where then you have to hear, you guys are slow to learn. What's going on? Right? What if we went in school and every day you just learned one equation in math class? Right? And reading, you just learned one word. Somebody said, oh, yeah, that they're going to learn, but they're going to be in the first grade forever. Right? We have to learn to take that in, study it. But because fools, they'll just talk. It says in verse 13, at the beginning, his words are folly. At the end, they are wicked madness. Either which way, you're messed up. But we keep receiving. We buy a lot of their books. We follow a lot of their logic. And the fool multiplies his words. They like to make sure he just said a lot to make you think you got more than what's needed. Remember, even in prayer, God, he says, babbling is worthless. Don't do it. It's in Matthew 6. But to let us understand, no, don't do it. He says, God is in heaven. We see that in Ecclesiastes. And you're down here, make your words few, right? We have enough to pray about that. We don't have to babble and just to, tell somebody, hey, I prayed for 2 hours. Did you pray or did you just say it so you can brag about, I prayed for 2 hours? You know what I mean? No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? So here's the key here. No one knows what is coming. Okay. So even if you're a prophet, you only get what God says. It doesn't mean you know everything in the whole entire future. You know what is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when you get these people that think, because we did this, and this, and this is going to happen, this is, and if you notice, if you go back and listen to some people who forecast things, and even the ones who call them, biblical scholars, they've shifted. A lot of stuff that people said, it's not happening. But they were convinced because they like to show, look how knowledgeable I am. But God already gave the answer. No one knows what is coming. Right? We get bits and pieces, but the overall, no one knows it. So don't be fooled by anybody. Right? It says, who can tell him what will happen after him? I only know what God gives me to present. Can't tell you the entire thing. I only can give you what the word provides. I'm going to stop there. Any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. I get my book.
While she's getting, oh, go ahead.
So on, me and Mark were talking about the flesh, the soul, and the spirit, and I don't know why, but in my mind, I thought that the body went to the grave, the soul, I guess, didn't exist anymore because you have to have a body to have a soul, I was thinking. But then when I was reading the scripture, Revelation 6 and 9, it said about how the saints saw the souls. So we wonder how they see the souls, because the soul is the emotion, personality, those kind of things, right?
The soul is you. Now, how it has form is kind of hard. That's why some would just say spirit, that was the spirit. But the spirit, when a man dies, goes back to God.
Right.
And then the flesh itself dies off. You know what I mean?
Right.
The
Right.
how it affects you. So how that process works is a mystery, to be honest with you. Now, people have written books on it, but they're not biblical. So you'll get something like you're just saying there, and then they took a license to go, well, because, so I don't know that answer on when those certain things of he saw the souls, and some of them the translation is wrong, but in a lot of cases, how that works out is a mystery, if you will. But they have some form of however that works, but if the Bible really doesn't give a solid answer on that. I got to do, I plan on doing that sermon again this year, soul, spirit, and yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about it because we were saying, I know it's not on the website anymore because it was a while ago. Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem. Other questions? All right. Once again, very important. Everything's very important when it comes out the Bible. And I think sometimes it's very easy for us to just kind of look at things, kind of shrug our shoulders and just move on. Instead of, necessarily understanding when he gives it to me, I got to pay close attention because it could really affect my life. And this is a very heavy one because there are more foolishness in our Christianity than there is wisdom. And we can't keep doing that. And we got to always start with ourselves and then who we're dealing with and things of that sort. So really take this serious. Check me. Please check me using the word of God and keep moving on. All right.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no other questions, let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for these opportunities to receive your word. We thank you so much for supplying your spirit, you being in us, dear Lord, to give us all that we need. Help us to continually access you and not lean upon ourselves. Thank you for your word. We ask you to bless those just in life overall that have so many things going on with them. Let us be aware and not turn our backs, but to apply whatever assistance your will would have us to do. Help us, dear God, to speak to people with love, with the purpose of ministering to them, not preaching at them, dear God. And we want to make sure we're not making matters worse. Help us to represent you in all that we do, that we show the correct light, knowing that time is short, and everything we do with all of those that are precious to you, that we can do what we can to plant or to water as you see fit. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.
Amen.
Love you, family.
Me too.